To the Word of God, to that passage we read earlier, to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. This morning I'm turning your attention to the verse 10. The verse 10 of Ephesians chapter 2. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them, unto good works. With God's word open before us, can we pause just momentarily for a word of prayer? Our Father, we thank thee for all that has been in this service thus far. We thank thee for thy help. We thank thee for thy presence. What a joy it is to know that the Lord is in the midst, speaking to our hearts, consoling and comforting our souls. Our Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit might so fill this gathering, might so overpower us with the sweetness of his presence, with the word of the Lord, that we will rejoice, that we will be glad, that we will sing the praises of Jehovah, our blessed Redeemer. Do undertake for us now, as we take the promised Holy Spirit, to fill us to the uttermost. We take, thank God, he undertakes for us. Amen. Our text says, unto good works. There you have a topic or a subject brought immediately to your attention. The Christian and good works. Do you know today there is a great deal of confusion throughout Christianity regarding the true nature of conversion, how we are justified in God's sight or made righteous. There are many that will place great emphasis and stress upon the works of man. Undoubtedly, every single one of us here at one time or other have heard the excuses offered from the lips of man. I'm not really a bad person, some will tell you. I've never done anyone any harm. I go faithfully to my church every Sunday. I give to my church. And the list goes on and on and on. I'm sure you've heard people using language like that. You know, I thought yesterday about that language. That smarts of the language of the self-righteous. Someone who is justifying their own action. There are groups of people who would customarily use this language. We know that Rome, the church, herself will place great stress upon the importance, on the value of good works, and upon that level of acceptability that this brings in the sight of God. However, they're not alone in their belief. The Episcopalian Church is similar. The message that is brought to the heart of the hearer in the Episcopalian Church chiefly is, do your best and you will be all right. I can say that because my early existence, I was brought up in the Church of Ireland. And I remember that that was the philosophy or the teaching that seemed to be promoted first and foremost. Good works. When you think of that principle or that belief, it has tainted the views of many, many cultish groups throughout our society and across the world. What is the view, the belief of, let's say, the Jehovah's Witness? Is it not good works? Is that not the teaching of that organization? Good works? It is not based upon a foundation of the blood of Jesus Christ and his righteousness that atones for the soul. Rather, it is do your best. Good works. However, having said all that, we know that that very notion is banished in the light of Holy Scripture. Because Ephesians 2 and the verse 8 and verse 9 clearly say, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Not of works, lest any man should boast. I remember many years ago on a Holy Land tour, meeting a group of young Egyptians in a hotel in Egypt, speaking to those about their faith and comparing that to our faith. And I remember particularly the views of one young man. What he said to me, I've never ever forgotten. His belief is that when he dies, the gods of Egypt will take his heart from out of his bosom and place it on scales. And if the good that he has done outweighs the bad, it's heaven. But if the bad that he has done outweighs the good, then it's torment. That's Islam. This is the religion that pervades throughout society today. Good works. A certain Mr. Jones said this: "You may as well try to cross the Atlantic in a paper boat as to get to heaven by good works." However, there is an error equally as great on our side of Christianity. Because there is so much unclear waters, we in Christian circles today are afraid of the teaching of good works because of the errors all around us. But when you look at our text, Ephesians 2 and the verse 10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." As Christians, good works forms a part of Christianity. Good works is something which we as a child of God do. And as you will see, it is what something that God requires of us to do. We are not saved by good works. We're saved in the foundation of the blood. And I will mention more of that tonight in the will of the Lord. One of the distinguishing marks of the child of God is by their fruits ye shall know them. There are many references to Scripture I could turn you to. For example, in the book of James, James chapter 2, I'll just turn you over to read a few verses. James chapter 2, the verse 14. "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and hath not works, can faith save him?" The verse 17. "Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone." Verse 18 goes on to say, "Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works." Hence, There is a demonstration of our faith by our works. By our good works. Now, God Almighty is the divine craftsmanship. It is God Almighty who is creating us as vessels unto honor. It is God Almighty who is shaping you and I that we are the persons He would have us to be. He is the divine craftsman. We're told that in our text of Ephesians 2 in the verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Now I want to take the thought of the workmanship of God in the life of the believer and how this should affect your life and my life. There are three things I want to show you from God's Word this morning in that proposition. Firstly, that we are a product of His workmanship. Child of God, I trust that as we go through this, that your heart will be blessed upon the foundation on which you stand. Now, by referring to us as a product, I'm not seeking to demean you nor myself. I'm not seeking to undervalue your worth or my worth before God. Rather, that we have an accurate relationship of our standing before God. Our text, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We are His workmanship. Now, if that text was isolated, if that text of Scripture was severed and taken out of its original context, it would mean absolutely nothing. You would not know who the subject was. You would not know who the His refers to when it says, for we are His workmanship. No, this verse is connected to the previous verses. The verses 8, 9, and 10 of Ephesians 2 are like a triplet of verses. As one man once said to me, it's like the garments of a three-piece suit. Now, I'm not wearing a three-piece suit. But I remember a man in Six Mile Cross in the church that I was brought up in, and he used to say, if you're not wearing a three-piece suit, you're not fully dressed. Well, these verses are the three-piece suit. And this is how we're fully dressed as Christians. By wearing all of them. We are His workmanship. Whose workmanship are we? We are God's. Is that not obvious from the verse 8? For by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. There is the subject, God. That word His in the verse 10 refers back to God. It is connected. That is the subject. We are God's creation. Now that truth abolishes certain things. For one thing, it abolishes pride. You know, Calvinists, and I believe that you today are a Calvinist being in a Free Presbyterian church. I believe that you espouse the doctrine of Calvinism. But Calvinists have always been accused of being proud. This truth abolishes that. We have to understand that it was God who chose us. Not because of the good that He saw in us, but solely out of mercy and love. God chose us. God made us His workmanship. He made us the objects of His creation.
We are adopted into the family and the fold of God. Take an adoption agency, for example. A child is there. He's waiting to be adopted. A family that has been cleared by the adoption agency walks into that society. They look upon that child. They favour a particular child. And they say, we want to adopt that child. They are choosing the child. That is adoption. And that is true spiritually. Child of God, you were adopted by the Lord. He chose you from the multitudes of humanity. He chose you to create in you and to make you a vessel of honour to His name. That is humbling. Humbling to the soul. It is not of us. It is not in and of ourselves. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling, the hymn writer said. He's referring to the subject of adoption. And of course, even in the verses 8, and the words gift and grace, would highlight that to our hearts. For by grace ye save through faith, and not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Of course, presumption. Man thinks that he had a hand in his redemption. That half of the work was God's. And that the other half of the work of redemption was on man's part. There are folk that will espouse and will embrace that teaching. But can I say to you again that that is nonsense? It is presumption to consider one who is spiritually dead. And that's what we were. Dead in trespasses and in sin. Can a dead man raise himself to newness of life? It is impossible. He is dead. Clinically dead. He cannot raise himself to newness of life. He's dead. But God, by His power and through His might, He spoke the word of life to our hearts, and we became new creations in Christ Jesus. It is presumption to think, therefore, that we had a hand in our redemption. We are His workmanship. Yes, I know that we have to call upon the Lord for mercy and for salvation. I know that. But I'm looking at it from God's point of view. We are His workmanship. There can be neither pride nor presumption on our part. God chose us. God raised us to newness of life. The work is God's. But how did we become His workmanship? Verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. I want you to underline that in your Bible. I want you to see that word, created. Indeed, this word qualifies what I have just said. Lest man should be puffed up in his pride. What does the word created actually mean? Well, it has various meanings. But the primary meaning suggests this thought to your heart and to mine. To make habitable. Or to people. It is a word which leads and lends itself to the suggestion that something occurred at a specific moment in time. Created. Not a process, but an act. What is justification? It is an act of God. Your salvation was an act of God. Was an act of God. When you take the word saved, for by grace are you saved through faith. Whether you take the word born, it speaks of an act. I remember many years ago going into camps with Child Evangelism Fellowship. And of course, it's interdenominational. There are many young people there, and sometimes you hear them telling you how one or the other came to faith and to trust in Christ. They were giving their testimony. One thing always alarmed me was this. When a young man would say that through process of time, I became a Christian. Through the process of time. Now I know that there is a process. I know that. But when you became a Christian, was a specific moment in time. The same as the birth of a child. There was a process leading up to the birth. But you were born at a specific moment in time. That is true spiritually. We were born of God at a specific moment in time. Specific. Created in Christ Jesus. Now, two things brought this about. One, the agent. The cause. There is always a cause. The first great cause. Someone caused this to happen. Someone caused your regeneration. Someone caused the new birth. As a Christian adopted into the family of God, someone made us holy. Someone redeemed us. Someone washed us in the blood of Jesus Christ. Someone did that. Who did it? I put it to you, it was the agent of God. Who is that agent? That agent is the third person of the Trinity, God the Holy Spirit. Let me show you this in God's Word. Look at verse 4 of Ephesians chapter 2. And notice this. But God. And remember that in the Godhead, there are three persons. There is the Father, there is the Son, and there is the Holy Spirit. The Father sent the Son that He might come to this sin-cursed world to die an atonement for us. But read on in the verse 4, Ephesians 2. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. So God brought us together with Christ. I put it to you that this is God, the Holy Spirit, who quickened us. The blood has been applied by God, the Holy Spirit. He is the divine agent that convinces the soul of his need of Christ. That convicts the soul. And that converts the soul. The agent. The access. Of course, before I'll move on to that, I'll just turn you back to John chapter 3. That portion of God's Word that recounts the wonderful conversion of Nicodemus. John chapter 3. It's always good to qualify what one says, backing it up with Scripture. And here, if you notice in John chapter 3, the verses 5 through to 8, Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." There is the divine agent in the soul's conversion, the Spirit of God. Applying the Word, the blood, to our hearts and to our lives. We are His workmanship. That's what we are. The divine agent brought that about. Through what access? Through what channel? Well, just as there is a direct link between two countries, such as the Channel Tunnel that connects England with France, as a direct link. Or through Mont Blanc that traverses a course through the Alps between France and Italy. So, how are we made new creations in Christ? Yes, the agent was the Spirit of God. Through faith. That's the tunnel that God used. That's the access. Through faith. Remember, without faith it is impossible to please God. This is the part that we had in our soul's salvation. We believe what Jesus Christ did on the cross was sufficient to take away our sins. We believe that through faith. Through faith. That's what we're told in Ephesians 2 and the verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Through faith, it is accomplished. But can I move on quickly to consider our privileged position due to His workmanship? Again, if you think of the verse 10, and you think of the proposition in, we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus. It's only a preposition. It's a very small word. But yet what beauty it unfolds to the soul. In Christ. Child of God, that's where you are. In You're not outside. You're in Christ. This book of Ephesians is inundated with references to our wonderful, glorious, privileged position of an in Christ. I'll just give you a brief sample. Ephesians 1 and verse 7. In whom we have redemption. Through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Redemption. That's a blessing. Look at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. We are blessed in Christ. With a multitude of blessings. You read on down in your Bible. Read it this afternoon. Read Ephesians. You'll not have to go very far to see the blessings that are found in Christ. As I said, the verse 7 is one of them, redemption. Verse 11 speaks of an inheritance, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled, preserved in heaven for us. It's all found in Christ. We can think of our glorious position in the body of Christ in mystery, verse 23 of chapter 1, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. We're in the body of Christ. That's a mystery. We're in the building of Christ. Chapter 2, verses 23 to 23. We are the building of God. And it hath not yet appeared what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. We are the body of Christ. We are in the building of Christ. We are the bride of Christ. Chapter 5, verse 23 tells us this. We're in the body of Christ in mystery. We're the building of Christ in majesty. We're the bride of Christ by marriage. What a privileged position you and I occupy. What a privilege. It's unique. Absolutely unique. Not all of Adam's helpless race were chosen. Ephesians 1 verse 4 says, according as he hath chosen us in him, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Chosen. Adopted. That's unique. We're in union with Christ. Chapter 2 and the verse 5. We're told that the Spirit of the Lord, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. With Christ in union. That's the wonderful, glorious position of the child of God. He's in union with Christ. But verse 10 of Ephesians 2 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Do you know our privileged position? It is not without responsibility. That's the final thought I want to bring to you today. Our prerogative due to his workmanship. There has to be a working out of this in our lives. We have been building up to the point where we recognize our responsibility toward his workmanship within us. What does God the Lord require of us in return? Ephesians 2 verse 10 tells us, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works. The very thing that we shy away from. The very thing that we fear because of the perceived errors. We shy away from it. But we are saved unto good works. If there was nothing for us to do after conversion, what would God Almighty have done? He would have taken us out of this world. He would have taken us home to be with him. But there is a purpose and a plan for your life as there is for mine. I want you to see that. Notice in the verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained. What does that word mean? Ordained. Which God hath before ordained. They are, I refer to the good works, they are and were in the mind of God before this world was created. In eternity past. Do you know what I mean? Before time was, God had saved us unto good works, which he ordained. Think of that, child of God. What does that mean? It means this, that your very life is planned by Almighty God. And everything that you do, the very moment that you do it, God in his calendar before eternity began, before the world began, it was jotted down. On such and such a date,
You would do this, or you would do that, or you would do the other thing. Think of it. We do not manufacture these good works. They are the results of God Almighty working in our hearts. Read Philippians 2. There's a verse in there that tells us about that. This means that God has a plan for your life. And we need to walk according to that course. The verse 10 goes on to say, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. That we should walk according to those good works. That we should regulate our lives accordingly. And conduct ourselves along the course that God has foreordained. Brothers and sisters in Christ, when you leave this place this morning, and when you go home, and you think of the forthcoming week before you, will you pray to Almighty God, of whom you are His workmanship? Will you pray to Him that God will have His way in your life? That He will lead you day by day, and that you will do good works unto His honor and for His glory. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts.